Thank you for inviting me to give a talk. I am for the first time here, and I'm charmed by the place. But, I think it's not surprising for everybody, but I'm for the first time. I will speak about revision of turbulence, and this sounds ambitious. Well, to the first sight, why we need a revision? The common position of modelers is common request to physicists dealing with turbulence from modelers is just please give us turbulent viscosity, conductivity, and diffusivity, and that's it. We don't need any more. But this is a wrong point of view, because not everything can be, but you know better than I, not everything can be even modeled, not to say explained and understood with the aid of these simple concepts. And these simple concepts actually originated from analogy between, well, imaginary analogy between turbulence transports, energetics and fluxes, and energetics and fluxes of molecular motions which perform transports and laminar flows. The modern view originates to, or at least attributed to Kolmogorov 41, but I emphasize the fact that Kolmogorov didn't consider stratified turbulence. All his papers of this period, which pushed forward the theory of turbulence for a long period until now, were devoted to neutrally stratified shared flows. So very specific type of turbulence, definitely not covering everything. Thanks to a big success, Kolmogorov's followers extended practically without proof his vision to stably or unstably stratified flows, and surprisingly fast. Even in this process, I knew people because of time. I was born in Russia and graduated in Russia, and only the last 30 years has been working in the West, in Europe. But I knew these people, and I remember that it was very difficult to former students of Kolmogorov to diverge from his vision. They just took it as it is. We are revising a conventional paradigm, accounting to two features which are definitely beyond his vision and traditional vision underlying turbulence energetics and turbulence closure theory. First, self-organization in unstable stratification is quite obvious. It is not no room for that in the traditional vision. But another point is self-control in stably stratified turbulence. I will demonstrate both mechanisms, but both are definitely beyond. And key points are different. Key points of the Kolmogorov vision were forward cascade, down gradient fluxes. In fact, Kolmogorov strictly followed Prandtl's vision of eddy viscosity, in particular eddy conductivity, as a typical turbulent length scale, turbulent velocity scale multiplied by the turbulent length scale. And Kolmogorov just followed that. He introduced in energetics turbulent kinetic energy budget equation, but only kinetic. And surprisingly, his followers, in spite of the fact that at the time it was already understood the temperature fluctuation budget equation or turbulent potential energy equation were known, but were not incorporated in the context of turbulence closure. So our key points are in inverse cascade, And besides dissipation, conversion of the energy of convective chaotic plumes into the energy of self-organized structures, and emphasis on non-gradient fluxes, which are not represented via the simple Prandtl approach. I am recalling that perhaps the first man thinker who produced plenty of this kind of drawing with some ideas about his vision of this chaos, and he emphasized in many of his drawings, Leonardo emphasized plenty of motions. He doesn't say spectrum, but it's multitude of motions, and among which there are big and very small. And this is important. Actually, he as if foreseen the idea of cascade. Then the man who formulated the modern vision of the forward cascade was Richardson. But he is not quantified that. He just declared the idea of cascade, and Kolmogorov was the first who quantified the cascade. Actually, he quantified the idea of the concept of dissipation. And to the first sight, it's very simple, but it was done for the first time. For us, it's now only natural. First, he represented the dissipation rate of kinetic energy. He limited, as I mentioned, to neutrally stratified flow. He considered the dissipation of kinetic energy. And first point was that the dissipation can be represented, it's not a hypothesis, it's a reformulation, as a dissipating property, kinetic energy as such, divided by the dissipation time scale. One unknown instead of another unknown. It's, to the first sight, it's nothing. But next point is, it's only natural to produce a length scale as a square root of kinetic energy multiplied by the time scale. Also very, almost nothing. But then, I recall that he considered shear generated turbulence in neutrally stratified flows. Then the only length scale in the problem was the height over the surface, z. And then the problem is solved from nothing. And it resulted in an absolutely unbelievable success in modeling. So this is, I'm just recalling the Kolmogorov's vision. And you see how looks like the Kolmogorov's turbulence. These are big eddies resulted from hydrodynamic instability, which break down to generate smaller and smaller eddies, and then finally dissipate into heat.
Can I ask one?
Yes, please.
You associate with him the length scale of distance from the boundary.
Yes.
I thought that idea came later, and he didn't really declare that. Is that his idea?
Sorry?
Is the height above the boundary Kolmogorov's idea?
The height above, of course it's Kolmogorov's idea, because besides his conceptual papers, he also produced in 42, he produced first turbulence closure theory with turbulent kinetic energy budget equation and length scale identified as z of distance over the surface.
So why are Monin and Obukhov so famous?
Kolmogorov was a very, very specific person. He used to, but Monin and Obukhov were very gifted to scientists, and they did much. But usually he used to present his ideas to one of his students. In particular. Once he proposed the idea at a seminar, calculating the force moment via third moment. So perhaps somebody is interested. Okay, Milyonchikov, please, you go on. This will be your topic. And next time, Milyonchikov presented a paper about that. And Kolmogorov started calling it Milyonchikov closure. He was not very much interested in putting his name into his discoveries. That was his usual practice. But Monin and Dobuchov, or Obuchov, better to put it first, he was a greater man, of course. Kolmogorov as if presented them stratified turbulence. Actually, they went on dealing with stratified turbulence. But now I am recalling that turbulence is not necessarily this Kolmogorov's chaos, breaking eddies. This is also often called turbulence. I wouldn't call it turbulence. I prefer the word pre-turbulence because we have only a few modes, two, three modes, and obviously no cascade. This is indeed chaos, but another kind of chaos. These are upper parts of convective plumes, and they don't look like breaking eddies. They are not breaking. And I now show. I don't know how to switch it. Can do it here. Okay. Yes. Okay. This is a direct numerical simulation DNS. The volume is. It goes on. I think it goes no. It's no mean wind. It's warming from below, and you see what happens. There are marked fluid particles, just marked fluid particles, and fluid particles which are well chaotically happen to be warmer than surrounding than ambient air started moving up. And they are not breaking down. So this is how looks like this kind of turbulence. These are merging plume turbulence rather than breaking eddy turbulence. Merging plumes. It's convective plumes. They are becoming wider, and then they touch each other. But that they have absolutely no reason to break down, but they merge to create larger plume. And this is nothing but inverse cascade towards what? Towards self-organized structures, either cells or roles. What we are trying to do to quantify this mechanism via the concept of conversion instead of dissipation. There is of course dissipation, because some of the flows are always partially shared, and also driven by buoyancy. But these two mechanisms work in different ways, and the buoyancy is associated with inverse energy transfer or inverse cascade. So the most familiar turbulent kinetic energy budget equation, and I will not show any more equations, only this one. So the left, this is a third order moment. This is fluctuation of kinetic energy. W prime is fluctuation of vertical velocity, and this is a third moment, which is usually treated as a third order transport of turbulent kinetic energy, just by the vertical velocity fluctuation. U star friction velocity, U capital is mean velocity, Z vertical coordinate. So this term quantifies the generation rate of kinetic energy by shear. And g acceleration due to gravity, t naught is reference value of absolute temperature, and fz is a vertical turbulent flux of potential temperature. So this altogether, this term is a buoyancy flux. So this is a buoyancy flux. The buoyancy flux quantifies generation rate of turbulent kinetic energy by the buoyancy forces. And it was taken as for granted, without any proof, that this term and this term, that shear and buoyancy, generate one and the same type of chaotic motions. This is simply not true. Shear generates eddies, which indeed break down, but buoyancy generate plumes, which have no tendency to break down. This is the first point. But second point is also that nobody says, or what many people says, but nobody proved, that dissipation, and here is dissipation, and this is dissipation following Kolmogorov, presented as kinetic energy divided by the dissipation time scale. But nobody proves that in stable stratification, that dissipation and buoyancy flux work in the same way. They do not work in the same way. Dissipation just removes the energy, removes the kinetic energy from the system, from mechanical system, convert it into heat, convert, keyword, into heat. But the buoyancy flux is by no means consumes the energy. It's only transporter. It converts the kinetic energy into potential energy, because we have the budget equation for potential energy or budget equation for temperature fluctuations, and the same flux appears as a productive term here. So it's a redistribution of the energy within the system. So both expectation of the classical theory happen to be not quite correct, at least in pronounced stratification. The idea that buoyancy produces the same type of turbulence subjected to dissipation, first Taranov's idea, and second Taranov's idea is that the buoyancy flux, negative buoyancy flux in stable stratification, simply remove kinetic energy from the system. But this simple remove underlies the Kolmogorov's vision. But simple remove, but he was right, because he didn't consider this term. And then the right-hand side. This is a very important term. I will say later why. Critically important. And when turbulence is fully mechanical, then in the lower layer, in the logarithmic layer, the turbulence kinetic energy is practically depth independent, constant with height. And then the usual down gradient parameterization of this third moment as some kind of exchange coefficient multiplied by the mean gradient, vertical gradient of kinetic energy is simply zero. It is a negligible term in the neutrally stratified boundary layers. Or in weakly stratified boundary layers. But what I will show you that in strong convection, these terms becomes critically important, and it just describes conversion of kinetic energy, conversion of kinetic energy into the energy of self-organized structures. So this is what I already told. This generation terms generate breaking. This term generate breaking. It is this term. When we distinguish two regimes, when this term dominates close to the surface, logarithmic boundary layer, then the shear generated turbulence digests eddies, digests plumes. Plumes are destroyed, fully destroyed by breaking eddies. Breaking eddies are stronger, and then they undertake responsibility for the entire turbulence. And this is a simple regime, it's very well known, and it is described by the traditional theory. But when this term dominates, and in fact, in convective flow, it starts very close to the surface in atmospheric boundary layers, or in lab experiments in any convective flows. And then it's just opposite. Then plumes digest velocity fluctuations generated mechanically. And then this term starts playing its role, starts converting kinetic energy into the energy of self-organized structures. So this is a new vision. Here's just illustration. This is a ZOL is an Obuchov length scale. I don't know whether I indicated it or not. Obuchov length scale, but it's familiar. I think it's familiar. Obuchov length scale is cubed friction velocity divided by the buoyancy flux. At the heights less z over l, z is height, l Obuchov length, less than something like 0.5, we see here no stability dependence of the ratio of the energy of vertical velocity fluctuations divided by squared friction
Excuse
velocity.
Excuse me. Just a quick question. What was beta in the last slide?
Sorry?
What was beta?
What? Beta is a buoyancy parameter. Is gravity acceleration due to gravity divided by reference temperature. This is the ratio acceleration due to gravity over T naught. So we have two dramatically different regimes. This domination of mechanical turbulence, and here domination of convective turbulence. Now one absolutely paradoxical result, which cannot be explained in the scope of traditional theory. This is Obuchov length, cubed friction velocity divided by the buoyancy flux. Beta is gravity over T naught. And then I sometimes use U star squared, and U star squared is the square root of the vertical turbulent flux of momentum. And I compare two fluxes, horizontal temperature flux, U prime, zeta prime. So the flux along the x-axis, along the wind, and vertical heat flux is zeta prime, is fluctuation of temperature multiplied by fluctuation of vertical velocity as a function of Z over L. This is classical result. This is corresponds just to the first figure, just the mechanical turbulence regime, very well known, and it follows from many theories and from famous Monin-Obuchov similarity theory. But then, after passing this threshold somewhere Z over L of order of 0.5, totally different regime, totally different formulation of this ratio, which is only natural. The ratio, the horizontal flux is horizontal velocity fluctuation. And this is resulted from the following. Shear, first of all, generates horizontal velocity fluctuations, but then these are breaking eddies, and that's why they resulted in 3D turbulence. The breaking eddies are 3D turbulence. But plumes are 1D turbulence, as they only moving upward. And they're not breaking down, and that's why they don't feed horizontal velocity fluctuations. And this results in this dramatic curve. This is minus two-third power law, which is precisely follows from the theory and precisely demonstrated by data over wide range, over two orders of magnitude of Z over L. So this is a kind of empirical a confirmation. We have plenty of this confirmation, but illustration of correct vision. So here I'm quoting the famous Monin-Obuchov similarity theory, which is fully based on Kolmogorov 41, and is valid in shear generation turbulence layer, but fails in the anarchy. I'm calling this layer anarchy from the motto of anarchists. The anarchy is the mother of the order. The anarchist recommended the anarchy as the best organization of humankind. In fact, it's not stupid, it's a kind of bottom-up initiatives. Bottom-up initiatives are better than orders, than top-down, the top-down orders. Also, I already told that. This is a length scale for fluctuations, for horizontal and vertical velocity fluctuations. This is in breaking eddies. In breaking eddies, we have, that's erroneous. In breaking eddies, these fluctuations are proportional to friction velocity. This is wrong. I show not velocities, but W squared over friction velocity, and U squared, and U prime squared over friction velocity squared. And W behaves like this, vertical velocity fluctuations in convective layer, but horizontal velocity fluctuations behave as minus. So it's erroneous. It's erroneous. Please excuse me. Well, no, here very almost trivial. So as a result of self-organization, we have convective cells in shear free convection, and convective cells results in the strong enhancing of the heat transfer at the surface. Because the classical theory, the classical heat transfer law, neglecting self-organization of turbulent convection, calculated the heat transfer through the laminar heat transfer law, in spite of the fact that convective flow could be turbulent or laminar, doesn't matter. But large-scale organized structures create convective winds, so there are never shear free. Convection is never shear free because it creates its own winds. And then internal boundary layer close to the surface generate mechanical turbulence overlooked in conventional theory, and this mechanical turbulence strongly enhances the heat mass transfer. Then as a result, this is a turbulent flux of potential temperature non-dimensionalized with the aid of the convective velocity scale and the temperature increment. And here in our theory appear two parameters overlooked in the classical theory, the height of the boundary layer H and the roughness length Z. The roughness length obviously disappeared from the classical theory because there are no mean flow, and that's why no friction, no need in the roughness length. And this is classical law. This is in terms of Nusselt Rayleigh number, it is Nusselt number is proportional to Rayleigh. And you see dramatic difference between this traditional formulation, which doesn't include this H over Z naught. And this is a new formulation accounting for self-organization. And F is just this function. So you see this, the range of changes is much more than another, two orders of magnitude. And here, a new theory is calibrated against the LES, but LES are not so convincing, and most convincing are this blue data collected from several field campaigns from different parts of the world. And these are the most expensive data. It's several campaigns in Greece over Athens, so the roughness lengths are buildings like Acropolis. Okay. So heat transfer is quite strong and efficient. So I'm summarizing. The traditional theory doesn't distinguish shear-generated mechanical turbulence from buoyancy anarchy turbulence, overlooks inverse cascade. So it is an inverse cascade, by the way, it's nice to mention, it's nothing but order out of chaos, according to Prigozhin. And it is erroneous as applied to horizontal mixing, fluxes, and diffusion, overlooks large-scale organized structures, underestimates surface fluxes, and in modeling practice it is corrected, but only empirically and rather uncertainly. I am missing everything concerning stable stratification, and proceed to conclusions. So what I'm proposing is changing the paradigm. So first of all, I'm recalling conventional paradigm, Kolmogorov 41. So it Kolmogorov considered neutral stratification, I'm recalling. And then his vision was there is only two types of motion, regular mean flow and chaotic turbulence, with only forward energy cascade towards viscous dissipation. So that's why only one way from order to chaos, never reverse. And the revised paradigm is just to admit, first of all, it's to any applicable to any stratification. We distinguish several types of flow, mean flow, usual turbulence with forward cascade towards dissipation, then anarchy turbulence with inverse cascade, and then we also admit downgradient and non-gradient turbulent transports. Non-gradient play very important role in stable stratification, and in particular assure possibility for stably stratified turbulence to survive in strongly supercritical stratification. There is a self-control thanks to non-gradient transports. So that's it. I thank you for your attention, and I here just emphasize the fact that turbulence is widely used anywhere, nowadays in policy, in economy, everywhere. Basically, in a very negative sense, turbulence is bad. Turbulent policy is bad. Turbulence economics is bad. But in nature, turbulence is absolutely necessary part of the nature. I'm emphasizing that the word turbulence is still, even in physics, is used with no exact definition, and this causes troubles. I propose the following. So turbulence is multi-scale interconnected chaos with at least two orders of magnitude range of scales. Otherwise, it is pre-turbulence. Thank you.
Sergey, at least my recollection is that when we do convective turbulence with DNS, we still get -5/3. As far as I know, That's point one. The other thing is, I don't, the interpretation of the TKE equation is interesting, but it doesn't say anything about scale. Those are averages over the whole flow. So how can you infer anything about scale in that equation?
I fully agree. So the situation is not so simple as I presented. I fully concentrated. There are plenty of work ahead with understanding, quantifying of energetics and fluxes in convective turbulence. What I considered relates only to near surface layer where the structures are not distinguishable from mean flow. So we don't consider, we consider structure in this analysis. Well, when it's possible, it's yet, what is already done until present is a turbulence closure theory, turbulence energetics and closure theory for the lower part of convective boundary layer, where self-organized structures are an inherent part of the flow, which is, to experimentalists, looks like a mean flow. Because the large-scale structures, even in the absence of the ambient wind, produce its own wind, and this wind is experimentalist or instrument considers this wind as just mean wind. Vertical transport due to self-organized structures in the surface layer is negligible because it's close to the surface. Vertical velocity is negligible, but horizontal velocities are maximal, structural velocities are maximal. They produce shears, and that's it. So here we are capable to distinguish between everything in DNS, and DNS are preferable. Some things can be also retrieved from LES, but DNS are preferable because we can control dissipation. Dissipation is impossible to calculate in LES, but in DNS it is calculated, and our prediction we are just doing, but it takes efforts. It's not so easy to do, but it's on the way. We predict that dissipation rates of vertical velocity fluctuations, vertical energy, and dissipation rate of horizontal energy, we have formulations, are absolutely different. For the horizontal velocity is the Kolmogorov type, formulation, as energy divided by the time scale, or energy to kinetic energy to three half power over z, so it's very simple. We don't expect pronounced dissipation of convective plumes, but instead convective plumes already in the surface layer start converting a part of the energy to the energy of self-organized structures. And this mechanism, and this is quite important and also impressive, because we immediately have confirmation that we are right, even without complicated. Even without complicated data analysis or calculation, this term changed the sign. So it is, in the mechanical turbulence layer, kinetic energy is proportional to friction velocity, is almost zero. The energy slightly increases thanks to pumping of energy from buoyancy, slightly increases with increasing height. So the gradient should be the vertical gradient of this moment should be positive. But
okay, can I just
this term changes the sign. changes the sign at Z over L of order of 0.5. It becomes negative, so it becomes conversion. So we see it by naked eye.
That's fine. Okay, I'm not arguing with you. I would just comment that that equation as you've written doesn't balance. It needs W prime, P prime.
Oh yes, of course. Yes, yes, of course.
Case, but it is very strong source at the ground.
Yeah. But once again, in DNS, everything is available, even as LAS is available. But from data, it's hardly possible to retrieve from data. That's why I limit it to the terms which are usually neglected. Pressure terms are equally important. Yes. But we have room for pressure terms here.
Quick question. You said that when you see the plumes merging, that this you can infer an inverse cascade. Because the plumes merge, there's an inverse cascade, right? That was the inference. But is this the only way that they could merge? Because this morning, Chris showed us, he measured the energy transfer. It was to smaller scales. Yes. The mergers were happening just because they were being energized by conversion from potential to kinetic. So an inverse cascade is not the only possibility for creating these large coherent structures.
No, it's not the only, of course, and in different situations, of course, it's no doubt, but but at least this mechanism exists, always exists. Merging plume mechanism always exists and seems to be the key mechanism of self-organization in unstable stratification. My position is that first of all, we need to minimize the difficulties to consider the most simple case. And if we understand the mechanism in the most simple case, then of course more and more complex situations can be also considered. So it's not instead.
A related question. In the case of self-organizing convecting plumes, well away from the surface layer, how would you quantify inverse cascade?
Once again, I heard badly.
In the case of convective self-organized plumes above the surface layer,
yes.
How would you quantify the inverse cascade?
How to quantify inverse cascade? It's very nice. A good question. Because it is cascade, to quantify it, it doesn't matter whether it is forward or inverse. That's why this term d over dz was the term which I claim to name the conversion term. This is a conversion, and I represent it as kinetic energy over conversion time scale, and conversion time scale in convective regime is derivative over t. Fz to 1/3. This is velocity scale. Time scale is z. The only height in convection is z, distance over the surface in the convective layer. And the inherent velocity scale is gravity over temp over t. The vertical flux of potential temperature z to 1/3, and this is a time scale, And I will show how a simple solution we obtain immediately for the vertical velocity fluctuations.
I think
from that.
Let's can we postpone this discussion to the break because we need to move on to the next talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's thank Sergei again.